read firstly from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. And going on board the ship, he passed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic, laid upon a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Be of good courage, child. Thy sins are forgiven thee." Chapter 14. We might read from verse 23. And having dismissed the crowds, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when even was come, he was alone there. But the ship was already in the midst of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. But in the fourth watch of the night he went off to them, walking on the sea. And the disciples, seeing him walking on the sea, were troubled, saying, "It is an apparition." And they cried out through fear. But Jesus immediately spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter, answering him, said, "Lord, if it be thou, command me to come to thee upon the waters." And he said, "Come." And Peter, having descended from the ship, walked upon the waters to go to Jesus. John's Gospel, chapter 16. Chapter 16 of John, and verse 32. "Behold, the hour is coming, and has come, that ye shall be scattered each to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world." A short reference in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. Chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, and verse 7. "And Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous." And then verse 8. "And Jehovah, he it is that goeth before thee. He will be with thee. He will not leave thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be amazed." And just one further reference in the 27th chapter of the Acts. Acts 27 and verse 22. "And now I exhort you to be of good courage, for there shall be no loss at all of life of any of you, only of the ship. For an angel of the God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me this night, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted to thee all those that sail with thee. Wherefore, be of good courage." You will see at once that what is in mind is to, I trust, encourage us all with two words to take away with us. Take courage. I want to speak, if I can, of the pathway of Christian witness. And you'll see that all the scriptures I have read are against the backcloth of some form of the enemy's attack. It is for this reason that associated with these scriptures, there's in each case a sad intrusion of the efforts of the enemy to spoil and disrupt. I read from the 9th chapter of Matthew to indicate the start, if I may so say, of the life of Christian committal, Christian witness. We'll all know the detail of this lovely incident. I'm concerned, brethren, that we might, each and all of us, review in the calm of this meeting our spiritual beginnings. Because I have an impression that greater depth in our spiritual beginnings, in the understanding of our spiritual beginnings, will help us to be a little more pliable in the manner in which we administer the grace of forgiveness. I'd like to speak to the young people here, just for a moment or two. I want to commend to them this word, as it says, "Be of good courage, child, thy sins are forgiven thee." I wonder why the Lord says that. We don't get this in Mark's Gospel. We get it here. Why does he say, "Be of good courage, child"? Because I think that the path of Christian witness, insofar as this paralytic is concerned, is just beginning. And he needs, as we all need, to be of good courage. Now I'd like to ask all, particularly those who are young, as to what experience you have had, what experience have I had, in relation to that time when in our great sorrow we came in the spirit of repentance to the Saviour who loved us so much that he followed us even though we were on the road to eternal punishment. And on that road, in the grace beyond all compare, he drew near to us in wondrous love. We found ourselves in deep distress, and we confessed our sins at his blessed feet, and we've known something of the blessedness of the way he freely forgave us. That's the reason why we've sung these two hymns together. They bear on the matter of our individual relations with the Lord as to the forgiveness of our sins. Now I'd also like to add this. If you share with me that experience, as I'm sure you do, that there was a time in your history when all was awry, when the burden of your sins worried you, and after that little interview with Jesus in the spirit of repentance, the burden of your sins rolled away. Do we all understand what was behind that tremendous intervention? Do you remember the word of one who could say, "The way that thou art on is ruined before me"? We were on, brethren, the road that led to hell and to eternal punishment. And we were arrested by the Spirit of God. And we appreciated the grace of a Saviour who loved us so much that he took all our sins upon himself. What a Saviour he is. What a Saviour he is. But more than this, in one sense, yes, more than this. Not only did he clear us of every liability, as we've said already in prayer, our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins, they're all gone. No wonder we say, praise the Lord, O my soul. They're all gone. But at what a cost! I think of those blessed footsteps that led my Saviour all the way to Calvary. I see that great burden of sin put upon him. He who knew no sin was made sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a Saviour. What a glorious Saviour. And do you realise, beloved young friends, that at the time you gave your heart to Jesus, the whole matter was ratified in heaven? You say, "Well, I hadn't much thought of heaven's eye upon me when I repented of my sins and found my Saviour." Well, it was. Joy in the presence of the angels of God over repenting sinners. Thank God for everyone here who's yielded his or her heart to Christ. More than this? Yes, more than this. Given the gift of faith that we can understand that by the Spirit we would have never had a sense of need apart from our Saviour's service and the grace of the Spirit of God. Take comfort from that, young people. Maybe things are a bit cloudy and a bit misty, and I can understand that, for we live in a very difficult age. But the Spirit of God will give us to understand that when we placed our trust in that wondrous Saviour, all was well, all was well. Brought into the divine family, understanding something of the glory of the gift of the Spirit, clothed upon with divine righteousness, wondrously blessed for time and for eternity. No wonder we say at times, hallelujah, what a Saviour, what a Saviour. But what about the backcloth to this? Do you know what some said? Some said, he blasphemes, how awful. It's a point I want to stress, brethren, if I may, that Christian committal, Christian witness, is over against a backcloth of the efforts of the enemy, and I firmly and soberly believe this, that the closer we come to the rapture, the more the enemy is out to rob God. Now that's a point I think we need to quietly ponder. We're going to read a little later on, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. There is something to be secured for the divine pleasure, fruit of your committal to Christ. Word is, be of good courage. Thy sins are forgiven. I often think of this, you know. I think of my Saviour's blessed footsteps all the way to Calvary. Every footstep he made, an indelible impression. And he made it, every one of those precious footsteps. His burden became greater and greater and greater. Sometimes toiling as far as we can see almost all the night. We shall refer to that a bit when we get perhaps to the next scripture. But nevertheless, think of my Saviour's gracious service, and you were in mind for blessing. And no matter what happens in the world and things are boiling up, it's as plain as a pikestaff to see. No matter what happens, all is well, because you've given your heart to Jesus. He's taken you by the hand, and he'll never let you go. And he wants your witness now. Wants you to testify. Says to this man, now you go home now and tell your friends what great things Jesus has done for you. You done that? I used to worry my parents in my early teens. They didn't know where I was, whether I loved the Lord or whether I didn't. And for a time neither did I. Until one day, the inroads of death through a sad tragedy just suddenly hit me. And I said to myself, surely not. One day, I've got to die. Led me to the one who's been into death and broken its power. That's the Saviour who loves you. That's the Saviour who says now, as you're going to embark from tonight on this course, our Christian witness is going to say to you, take courage. Take courage. I go on to chapter 14. It says in that chapter, but in the fourth watch of the night, he went off to them, walking on the sea. Fourth watch of the night. 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, the first watch. 9 to 12, the second. 12 to 3, the third. And 3 to 6, the fourth. Just as dawn is beginning to break. Brethren, it's not going to be long. Light of another day is already dawning. We're soon going to see the blessed Saviour. We're going to fall at his feet with one loud hallelujah. What a Saviour he is. But now you see there's a backcloth here yet again, not only of these sad men in chapter 4, in chapter 9, who would doubt and of course say that what the message of grace was a blasphemy and so on. Not only that now, but you've got the winds and the waves that are blown up by the devil. Job knew something about the one who's walked on the water, you know. Job, I think it's chapter 9, verse 8, speaks of the one who walks on the high water. No matter what state the water is in, no matter what the storm, he's superior to it all. And so he comes at this, the fourth watch of the night. He had had a busy day, may I say, with deepest sobriety. He had seen a crowd. He had compassion on them. He healed their infirm. He fed the thousands. dismisses the crowds in his own grace, goes up into glory and prays for them. Now, I'm fully aware that there's a dispensational setting to this section. I'm not thinking so much of that. I'm thinking of the invitation that comes to you tonight from a Saviour who's superior to any and every circumstance, and he's saying to you, come. Says to them all in the boat, take courage. Says to you, come. Going to commit your life to him? Peter says, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. Going to respond? Going to place your life in his hands? Going to be a witness for him at school? At home? At work? Isn't he worthy of your witness? He says earlier, it says later on in one of the Gospels, for this cause was I born, and for this I came into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. What it cost him to be a witness, what a witness he was. We go about, do we? When we ought to give witness, we don't. He says to Peter, when Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, command me to come to thee upon the waters. And he said, come. And Peter, having descended from the ship, walked on the waters to go to Jesus. But seeing the wind strong, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand. You may wonder, however, you're going to get on if you come out in full, unreserved committal to Christ. Going to prosper this witness? How many today, thank God, over vast areas of the world are witnessing their love for Christ, and souls are being secured for Christ. The witness is growing every day. Wanted to grow from this little time here together tonight. And someone might for the first time step into the path of Christian witness, unreservedly committed, confessing with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and proving the practical salvation that comes thereby. You see, the storm here is by the devil. Peter got his eye off the Lord and looked at the storm. Began to sink. You may well begin to sink. I've often felt like this. What can we do? Lord, save me. Those in the boat, be of good courage, it is I. 7.5 miles across, young people, 7.5 miles across. And they're in the middle of the sea. And my Saviour comes walking on the sea in these early hours of the morning. What a day it had been. Go through chapter 14 at your leisure. What a day it had been. What unremitting service. What healing, mighty healing power. Going up on high, there he is tonight, a prince and a Saviour, and he's praying for us. Prays for someone here to be given the strength of faith to move now in relation to a good, solid Christian witness based on the understanding of this, that my sins are all forgiven. So he says here, they cried out through fear, but Jesus immediately spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I, be not afraid. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. You know, Peter in effect is saying, well, Lord, let's put the matter to the test. Let's put the matter to the test. Steps off the boat, goes to Jesus, looks at the wind, feels the wind rather, looks at the waves, begins to sink. But then you get this lovely touch. But seeing the wind strong, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught hold of him, and says to him, O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt? When they were gone up into the ship, the wind fell, but those in the ship came and did homage to him. What a lovely appeal to all our hearts. Any secret disciples here? What has your witness been like the last week? What has mine been like? I believe the Spirit of God is making this appeal to us. You know, none has ever loved us as He loved us. The might of that work in the forgiveness of our every liability, I believe, is the solid basis upon which committal in relation to Christian witness must be made. And so the word is here. It says to the Lord, He said, come, and Peter, having descended from the ship, walked upon the waters to go to Jesus. Takes his eyes off Jesus, begins to sink. Jesus stretched out his hand, caught hold of him, says to him, O thou of little faith. Doesn't say he ever let go of his hand, does it? Doesn't say that. Just his hand. Hand of the one who could feed the thousands. Hand of the one who could heal the infirm, spending evidently most of the night so doing. Hand of the one who would be on the mountain praying. Hand of the one who somehow has traversed these 3¾ miles to the midst of the lake. Greatness and glory of the person. King of kings and Lord of lords indeed in this very gospel. And he takes the sinking Peter by the hand. Then let him take you by the hand. I think that's one thing that has to be said about the man. In chapter 9, he was willing to be lured by the fall into the presence of Jesus. How good that is. You see, not only is there this gift of the Spirit that helps us to understand the mighty resources that there are in Christ, but there is the love of the brethren. Remember it says of Paul, he saw the brethren and he took courage. May we all take courage from tonight. May we all work together in relation to the need of the gospel. What a need there is. Many, many years ago, I spent considerable amount of time in stretcher bearing over the most difficult of country. And if you don't work together, the four of you on a stretcher with a wounded man on it, if you don't work together, you can soon tip the patient off. The question of our working together in relation to the encouragement, particularly of those that are young, that we might find our feet on this pathway of Christian witness until the day that Jesus comes. And now what about the opposition? I read from the chapter in John's Gospel, chapter 16, just to say a brief word about it. It says that the hour is coming, and now it has come, that ye shall be scattered each to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good courage, I have overcome the world. You know, I go in mind back to the scene of the temptation. I think of the devil leading my Saviour to the top of the mountain and showing him the whole of the world with the glory of it. My Saviour would have none of it. Falls back on the scripture, as you well know. Again he says, the prince of this world comes, and in me he has nothing. Again, his dying is to redeem us out of this present evil world according to the will of God. Separation from the world is a fiat of divine love. We don't want to become monastic. We want to be separate. Against, again, a barrage of opposition. Even from this very chapter from which we've read, and I'm not going into the detail of that. But be of good courage, he says, I have overcome the world. I remember a beloved brother known to many of us, or perhaps to some of us of rather more of my age, giving an address to young people in Wanstead some several years ago, speaking of the world, speaking of the need to have deliverance from it, and referring to Joshua and the walking around Jericho. And he said, young people, understand this, that the only way to overcome the world is to keep out of it. That's good, isn't it? Keep out of it. That's what they did in Joshua's day. They kept out of it. Moment of triumph came and the wall fell down flat. Rahab was saved, of course, as we well know. But I commend that to you. The only way to overcome the world is to keep out of it. Keep out of it. Good advice. Splendid advice. Be of good cheer, he says, for I have overcome the world. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good courage, I have overcome the world. Another part of Christian witness that we experience, especially in relation to the confession of the name of Jesus. You know, I think one thing that has hindered a lively, vibrant confession of the name of the Saviour that we all love, I think one of the things that has hindered it is the sad history that attaches to breakdown amongst brethren. But we've got to get over that. No good keeping on about it. Days of our sorrow, we've had the days of sorrow in some ways, they continue still. But we mustn't be overawed by the sorrow. We must inquire why the sorrow. And learn the lesson for the reason that we are where we are. And the Spirit of God, I believe, would encourage us. And to understand this, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He was going to do it finally at Calvary. He did it already in the temptation to which I've referred. Wonderful Saviour, isn't he? Surely you're going to commit yourself to him from tonight. Recommit yourself to him. Unreservedly confess his blessed name and know what it is to understand that all power has been given to him in heaven and upon earth. What a Saviour. Let us go forth in the light of that power. Let there be increasing power with our spiritual witness. That's going to help the young people. Nothing like a good, vibrant witness attached to our localities to keep and preserve the young. Very much needed just now. Be of good courage. I've overcome the world. I go on to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Joshua is a young man. You remember, he departed not from the tent of meeting. What about the young people in relation to departing not from the tent of meeting? Remember, there was one young man with the prophet of old, prophet that whose ministry was full of divine grace. And the enemy was after him, after Elijah. Tried hard to get him. Couldn't understand why he wasn't where the others said he was, time and time again. And the young man went out one day and he saw on the hills round about Elisha a great army. Alas, he says, whatever are we going to do? What are we going to do? What was Elisha's reply? Open his eyes that he may see. What does he see? He saw the mountain and chariots of fire, and what did Elijah say? They that be with us are more than they that be with them. You say, but just a minute. There was only two there. But there were the resources of heaven there. Meetings get small at times. Young people get a bit discouraged. Perhaps in some ways we're a bit discouraged at Ilford. Just now, matters have got so small amongst us, but nevertheless, we're to take courage. We're all to take courage. And we're to understand that what has been secured for God is going through in his grace until the end. Now, this taking courage is to Joshua. And what's this all about? Well, Joshua is going into the land. He's going to take the people into the land. Now, what is the land? What do our young friends here understand about the land? The land is that sphere into which Jesus has gone. In other words, in simplicity, the land is Christ glorified. And I see now that the Saviour who has loved me, as I've been seeking to indicate in the scriptures we've gone through already, He's now crowned in highest glory and he's there on my behalf. What a glorious, precious Savior he is. And Joshua is to take the people into the land. He was a man well qualified to do so. Do you know why? Because before he takes the people in, he'd been in himself. From the valley of Eshcol, he knew something of the fruits of the land. And he wants others to lead, to be led into it. And God says to him, be strong and courageous, fear them not. That's another interesting observation. If I might digress just for a moment. From this very book, you know, when they arrive at the land, they would say to themselves, well, whatever's been going on here? Everything's been done for us. Houses have been built. Vines have been planted. Fructified. Fruit from them. Enemies dealt with. Springs of living water. Realm that lies in the spirit. Every provision made. Someone's been here. And that's the glorious news of a little time like this tonight. Someone has been there. My Savior has been there. He's opened up the blessed channel of divine grace into this realm that is full of the Spirit. And he wants you and I to find our life there. Man, such as Joshua, qualified to lead the people in. He speaks. He represents a spiritual lead. Those of us who are older, we ought to be perhaps more concerned to give this spiritual lead in relation to the glory of the land. There it is. So the word to him is, be strong and courageous, for thou must go with this people into the land which Jehovah has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And Jehovah, he it is that goeth before thee. He will be with thee. He will not leave thee, neither will he forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. What more could you ask? What more could you ask? What a promise to be unreservedly committed to the one who will see us right the way through. Moses wasn't allowed to go in. Joshua goes in, leads the people in, into this sphere that is full of divine provision. Acts 27. I didn't refer, of course, to the enemies in Deuteronomy 21. They'd already had their way and released vast areas of the land for the occupation of God's people. But it's against there again, you see, the leading into the land is against a backcloth of considerable hostility. So I refer to Acts 27. Breakdown of the church publicly. How sad. How sad. And yet, we're still to be witnesses of what has been set up at the beginning in all its glorious power. There's a need to constantly look back at Pentecost and see the church there as one glorious whole. And to take our cue from it in our funeral, oft felt, to work out the truth of what Pentecost really means in our various localities. Here's Paul on this boat. The going has been hard. Storms have been violent. Brethren, it's not been an easy road, has it? Many have been the disappointments that I've had, and I expect you have had. But the word is here, be of good courage. I exhort you to be of good courage. And then again, wherefore, be of good courage, men, for I believe God. Do we all believe him? Believe him in this sense that we're prepared to unreservedly commit our lives to God and to be here for his pleasure and for his praise. Despite all that has come in, those of us who are older, we are sorrowers, we sorrow many and many a time at the legacy we are leaving behind us due to our own unfaithfulness. We've had to meet, to deal with this. We've had to present ourselves before the Lord, humbled us to it. But we want to go back to the ancient paths, not depart from them. Maintain a witness to the line of the truth that has come to us. Maintain a witness that is patterned after Christ's own glorious committal. Be of good courage, the word is to Paul, and through Paul to those on the boat, be of good courage. Soon all to get safe to land won't be long, brethren, won't be long, before we're all there, soon to get safe to land. I don't want to make a landing on a bit of a ship. I don't want to make a landing on a bit of a furniture. I want to make a landing swimming for it. You know how you become a good swimmer? You become a good swimmer by reading Romans, the Epistle to the Romans. Good swimmer. May the Spirit of God just help us then. To understand that there is being looked for in these dark and difficult days a witness that represents the heart and love of God himself. A witness in us all, brethren, in one sense a corporate witness in relation to the setting up of things in our localities, to which the Lord can be pleased and will be pleased to add. We need additions. Badly we need them where I come from. I'm challenged even as I stand here and speak to you as to whether I'm taking the courage that I should do in this stupendous knowledge that as I commit myself to the Lord, he already has committed himself to me. And so we go on, seeking grace, seeking help. I want you to look with me just at the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of compassions, God of all encouragement, who encourages us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to encourage those who are in any tribulation whatever, through the encouragement with which we ourselves are encouraged of God. I think this must be our prayer towards the close of our time together now. We need encouraging. We all need encouraging. We want the encouragement of this little time together to be diffused amongst us. God of all encouragement. I love that reference. Paul says elsewhere in that great resurrection chapter, wherefore he says, encourage one another with these words. What words are they? Why, there's any minute now we're off, brethren. At any minute we're off. What will it be like when on the crowd we see that blessed Saviour of ours, honoured as we have been to be a little witness for him whilst here, we see him there in all his glory. What will the praise be like when it will be so vast that I don't think the assembly family will be able to contain it? It will flow out throughout the universe. And we with one loud hallelujah will fall down at his blessed feet. Only a little while. John 16 tells us that, only a little while. That was nearly 2,000 years ago. Any minute now? Surely so. Any minute now. May the Spirit of God then encourage us. And may we each and all be richly blessed. But understand, let us all understand this, that I believe the basis of our spiritual life, the basis of it, is in this great transaction that we had when in all our need we proved the gracious, forgiving spirit of a wonderful Saviour. When we confessed our sins, relieved of every liability, brought into the sunshine of his presence by one who will never leave us or forsake us. I believe then this word that we've just read of here in 2 Corinthians 1 is suited in to our little time together. As it says, and I'm going to read it just again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassions, God of all encouragement. May our hearts all together well up to bless this God for his name's sake.